Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 532 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Glenn.
There's no Jay. Why? Because things in his life that are more important than new listeners.
I can relate to that.
It's shocking. And I hate to fucking be the one to say it, to break it to you. That's just how it is.
But you're all a pack of cunts. Too soon.
Now, first things first, I just want to give a shout out to, who was it the other day? Was it Vince?
Yes. Vinny. Vincenzo.
Vincenzo, he who posted in the Facebook group, and he said, which I just started talking about it without actually fucking having it up, so I'm madly scrolling down here. I feel the need to make this post as a purging confession. I'm embarrassed to admit I actually went to the Toowoomba Touch Association site this morning to check the results of the semis. Complete waste of time because not only had they not yet posted the results, of course it's Toowoomba.
Wow.
I couldn't fucking remember if Glennie's team was the Lions or the Sharks.
Well, we are the Lions. Of course we are.
Got any news for regarding the Lions of Toowoomba C-grade touch, Glennie?
Ah, look, I'm sure people have been watching, listening with bated breath and fucking...
Well, no, they have been. We've established that. You don't have to be...
Panting like, hearts.
Yeah, you don't have to be self-deprecating about that. I mean, this C-grade touch thing has taken off.
I was fucking serious. I was being serious. It's
taken off.
People are legit into it. Look, there's no easy way to say it. The Lions come away with a 1-point victory in a game that we thought was a fucking draw when the siren went. And then as we're shaking hands, the other team's like, congratulations, boys, good luck in the grand final. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It was a draw. No, you actually won by one. So one of the biggest gripes I have about touch football in general, but specifically Toowoomba touch football, because my closest mate on the face of this fucking planet just happens to be the secretary of Toowoomba Touch Football. And the suggestion I had when he first took on the role was, no one ever knows what the score is in a game of touch football. If you be on the hill and go, hey, you walk up and someone's been watching the entire game, hey, what's the score? Oh, I'm not sure. I think it might be such and such. I was like, put your fucking hand in your pocket, get some scoreboards. Maybe a couple of big screens, a jumbotron. You know, let's go all out. It's Toowoomba.
Well, you don't have to go fucking crazy. You've got people who work in handy trades. So you could get someone who, I don't know, maybe they work as a chippy, maybe they work in like some sort of metal fabrication capability, where they, two poles, a big fucking rectangle. Rectangle has two hooks on it. Says home on one and away on the other.
Yeah. This is not hard stuff.
You just hang a fucking square numeral, tick them over.
Yeah. You're really
that's
making
the base
it sound
level.
Even simpler than what it actually is. But look, we had a win. It was a tough game. It was a war of attrition. We had one of the boys dislocated his shoulder, and he's trying to do everything he can to play in the grand final.
How do you dislocate your shoulder in a contact
sport? Was,
or like
he was
a low contact.
He was coming sport. Across in cover, yep. And the opposing player looked like he was going to get through, so he dived, outstretched, come down.
Yep. Ah, the old
yeah. The old, that's how I did mine.
Tom Trbojevic, yes. Jerome Luai, fucking...
Well, I don't know that Jerome Luai is a good example, given that he had a fucking 100-kilo man roll over his entire fucking shoulder. The same end result.
I'm stretched out.
But, so we had a shoulder, a calf, An ongoing knee for one of the other boys who had an MRI the week before and just fucking took the field like an absolute savage. Like, enough strapping to, you know, like, there's probably a chemist in Toowoomba that has retired off the sales of the strapping that's gone around the fucking knees and ankles of the Lions C-grade touch team. We had a calf, we had an ankle, some general illness, general soreness, because we're all old and fucking probably don't stretch enough.
And then just and then out there on the wing.
And a fuck finger.
The big D's are just general lack of fitness.
Yeah, look, there's that. I don't, you know, there was a quality moment where Sharks, they were starting to get on top. We had a period of time. Well, actually, let me get through this bit. So they've made a break down the sideline, and one of our Alex, one of our younger guys, I think he might be 20, something like that. Quality player. He gave chase. He's a solid dude, but fuck, he's fast. And the Sharks player turned around, looked at him, gave him a little finger wag. And then Alex has dived and got him as the guy was diving to score the try. So fucking, he didn't get it. And then.
So he laid it up and fucking bombed it.
And then the rest of the boys got back onside. And then fucking two plays later, they've completely fucked it. And we've got the ball back. Shortly thereafter, they were attacking our line again. And one of the boys is coming back onside. And look, it was a professional foul, but. So he got sent, had to spend four sets at the end of the field, which is the rule. And so we had to play with five on six and managed to score a try to tie it up. He come so he finished his sabbatical. The big diesel run on as a fairly ordinary replacement for the guy that had been sent. And we managed to score a try to go one up, and the siren went shortly thereafter, and hugs all around into the grand final.
So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us, D's?
Well, you fucking tell me.
When is it?
Midday Saturday.
Midday on Saturday. Where?
Toowoomba Touch Football HQ, Kearney Springs, Ruthven Street,
Toowoomba. Ruthven Street. That's like the main street.
Well, it's yeah, one off, yeah.
It's like I recognise that name of that street. That's got to be like...
It's a big street. It goes right all the way through, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's the New England Highway, basically.
Right. Oh, yeah, that explains it then. Right, so, midday.
Kearney Spring Street.
Toowoomba. You know when. You know where. If you want to go up and watch the game...
Well, what if they just get in your bus?
I'm not taking a bus.
Hail to the bus driver, bus driving man.
I'm gonna try and get. I'm gonna try and get. Get Strive to drive me up there.
In his his Lambo.
So I can film some. I guess in his Jag. So I don't want to. Yeah, I want to get some B-roll and shit on the way up. Because look, I said I'd be putting together something together around this if you made it to the grand final, Glennie, and the big D's. He held up his end.
Well, so, look, I can't really take much credit, but gutsy effort. I was pretty proud. I said it last week, but I will say I've got a lot more out of this season of Touch Football than I really expected. And the fact that we've actually clearly got a good side, but to watch everyone hook in on the weekend with, you know, injuries and, you know, We're keen to fucking give it a shake, so it's good fun. I've really enjoyed it.
It's good. Be even more enjoyable.
And not one person has told me that I'm shit.
Oh, your son has probably said you're shit.
He doesn't count. Sure he's not a person. He does. He tells me all the time. He tells me every day that I'm shit in multiple facets.
Everyone's very supportive of you, Glennie.
Well, not
everyone loves the fucking big D's.
Not everyone.
Everyone loves them. No, even the people that don't love the big D's... Even the people who've been on the fucking end of you, shitting on them, their team, the fan base of their team, whatever, for fucking years.
Are you talking about Dragons fans? Has mostly, Shane Cash been in touch with you?
No, but I bet I'm hoping to see Cashy up there on the weekend, though.
There is talk that he might be on the sideline.
I think Cashy might be the fucking first one. He's the easiest guy to get there. Yes, he's up on the hill.
I think he lives in a cardboard box at the back of Carney Spring.
I plan on making the pilgrimage up. By all means, if anyone needs those details, hit rewind. Otherwise, get in touch with. On the Facebook, we might put something up there with the details in writing, just so people can refer back to it. But yeah, it's fucking happening, and this weekend, so fucking glorious. And let's hope we get a great result.
Now we're talking about it, I'm getting a little bit nervous. I wasn't nervous before this. Thanks very much, mate.
Look, there's a lot of pressure on it. I mean,
there is no pressure.
It's a results driven business.
And, it is. Well, I mean, grand finals is the result, right? Podcast. We made the grand final. but we are playing Sharks. We are playing Sharks. We're playing Saints. Right. And Saints are notorious for winning often. A grade, I think they might have won the last 10. And got knocked out in the semi last weekend.
Wow.
So... look, anyone not wearing a Saints shirt hates Saints. And they got knocked out on the weekend, and when the final siren went, not only the fans of the Roosters who had beaten them, but every other fan wearing any other shirt but a Saints shirt was fucking cheering on the hill. So it was good fun.
That's funny how even in touch your nemesis is the Saints.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's a recurring thing in your life. I mean, when you're a little altar boy to... to rugby league, touch footy.
The true irony is that I've been described and highly regarded as a bit of a saint myself by most people that come in contact with me.
That's all right. We got, 10 minutes into the show before you start fucking lying. Let's move to the games. And we can blast through these this week because, honestly, it's a busy week and Big D's needs his fucking recovery.
He does.
I mean, I take it you've been in the hyperbaric tank, and you could probably
forgot about one of the other injuries. One of the boys has got some weird fucking heel thing. He doesn't know if it's a bone spur, but it fucking comes and goes. When it hits him, he can barely fucking walk when he's out there. And then during the week, he's okay. And then as soon as he starts running or gets, about two-thirds of the way through a game, it's fucking excruciating. So that's another injury we've got. We're just a bashed, banged up, fucking ragtag bunch of heroes.
So if you get the win, it's basically the greatest upset in the history of touch football.
Look, I don't think it's a stretch to say that this game, and should the Lions be successful, will probably put the sport of touch football, it would launch into another stratosphere in Toowoomba. Sure, there's A grade. Sure, there's some of the best players in the country. There's homegrown Toowoomba kids playing for Australia. But a bunch of 40-odd-year-old blokes and a couple of young kids that probably don't actually want to be there running around and, as Jackson puts it, waddling around for me, and delivering hope to the poor, the lesser lights of the Toowoomba community, giving them hope that they too can run out.
There is not a C-grade touch competition in this country that has ever been covered with such depth and regularity and enthusiasm.
I would suspect that there's not an A-grade touch competition in Australia that has been covered to the levels that we've covered it.
Exactly.
And Bradley started to let the cat out of the bag because I've kept the whole Big D's and podcast thing under wraps, but he's let the cat out of the bag. So a few of the boys have started adding me on Facebook and, what's that podcast? Oh, yeah, is it on Spotify? Oh, yeah. So, look, boys, if you're listening, I love your work. Thanks for having me as part of the team. I'm sorry I'm fucking so slow.
I can't wait to chat to you on the weekend and ask you on camera you know, what it's like, you know, what it means to you to run out of the field with the big D's.
Like, some of these guys are fucking highly regarded touch football fucking luminaries, and, you know, in years gone by have actually played high-level representative state and international competition, and they're at a point in their lives where they're running around with me. Like, I feel bad for them.
So what you're saying, so after all that, they finally made it.
That's not actually what I'm saying, Nathan. Please stop putting words in my mouth, because I reckon they already think I'm a bit of a strange cunt, and now you're going to make them hate me. Thanks very much.
They're not going to hate you when you fucking score the winning try in the grand final on Saturday.
Come on now. Let's not talk it up too hard.
Hey, this is, we have had a history on this show over very fucking long, nearly 15 years now.
We can create a narrative.
Of manifesting fucking, we can manifest literal events out of midair just by speaking them into existence. And so, well,
I did try and manifest Lottie Takiri scoring a hat trick for 7 years.
Well. So and I can. Never I have shown a talent for manifesting events,
and I have not.
Yeah, you should actually just say, you should just like play against that and just be like, just say the opposite of what you want to happen.
Okay, cool.
And Lottie got one though for Souths.
That doesn't count.
Well,
can't believe you didn't keep paying the fucking. For that website to keep going.
Look, it was entertaining. Like, when he stopped playing, it kind of wasn't worthwhile. Because he scored a hat trick of fucking
in the backyard,
misses or something.
Oh, man. Jesus fucking Christ!
I mean, I ain't got the time to fucking, you know. What do you want me to pay for a private investigator to find things he does three of?
Quality.
Now, let's move on to the games. We can blast through them too, because fucking the stepdad is in there with his fucking jug cord lording over us. Although I wish he was for this one. But the Parramatta Eels 32 defeat the Panthers 18 at the Panthers' home with Sivo.
Just got to be better, tries.
King Gutho. Kinging it all over the fucking Panthers. with two tries, three conversions, and a penalty goal as well. The Panthers 18 tries to Tyrone Peachy, Nathan Cleary, Liam Martin, Thomas Jenkins, and one conversion to Cleary. Scared to death. Scared to kick.
Look, one of those gentlemen that I mentioned earlier who's played touch football at extremely high level is a bit of a fucking tragic Parramatta fan, and was talking on Saturday before the game, just fucking spurting everywhere about how Parramatta have the wood on Penrith and how they always beat them.
And look, he's not wrong.
It's just like, except for that grand final, hey, Mark?
Yeah, and then except for the semi-final before that too.
Yeah.
It's like they've played them about six times and they've beat them four times. All regular season games over the last two runs.
Yeah.
But they haven't, you know, grand final and in that semi that they lost. So,
and in summary, Parramatta, once again here, were dominant in a game that meant nothing, which is classic Gutho.
It was extra nothing to the Eels too, because they got a bye this week.
Yeah.
So it was like their last game. It was their Mad Monday Bali clash. But you got to say, I mean, you got to give credit though. Like, Gutho was fucking fairly enormous in this game.
Yeah.
And you could see that there was a long period of that game where he was fucked it on one leg and stayed out there. And just to look at the influence that he has on his side, when he finally succumbed to the leg thing and went off when the game was beyond doubt, that's when Panthers scored half of their tries. So,
are you giving Gutho credit?
I am. Wow. I'm fucking. I am. I've got the card out and I'm just fucking swiping it everywhere.
Do you know who I want to give? I want to give credit to Dylan Brown, Uncle Touchy. Yet again, Mitch Moses wasn't there, and Dylan Brown looks like five times the player.
And this is the thing. I mean, like, the Eels were so down on troops, playing a full-strength Panthers side, desperate to wrap up the minor premiership.
Not sure. Yeah, like, obviously, Luai's injury is a concern.
Is he coming back this year?
I don't know.
Because the
I should look, as one of the hosts of the fucking longest running rugby league podcast on the planet, we should know this shit, but
I'm not looking at shit. We don't fact check shit.
One cunt, there's one cunt in this group that's a Panthers fan. He should know, and he's not here. So,
but he wouldn't know either. Wow. He didn't even watch the game.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Why are you shitting on the guy, man?
I'm not shitting on the guy. I'm just saying.
At least you could be like him and just like shit on your co-host when you're here and when they're here with you. Like,
I'm not shitting on him.
You just did.
I'm saying, I just said you didn't watch the game. That's not shitting on anyone. And then he doesn't know the injury status of Jerome Luai.
Disappointed in the Panthers, to be quite honest.
I don't know, fuck the Panthers, fuck the Eels too, fuck them all.
Yeah, but you know what it means. It means that fucking Broncos fans, above all else, are the fucking chippiest motherfuckers of the week, and no one wants that.
Yeah, but you know, they're going to make their own, they're going to dig their own fucking grave, because if they get in the minor premiership, they play Storms in the first week of the finals, and they can't beat the Storm at home, and they're fucking behind on the back foot for the rest of the final series. And then get shipped to the second side of the draw, and they'll have to fucking play Penrith to get into the grand final. So, look, these things all have silver linings.
It's a very interesting take on the world you have, Nathan.
He's got to believe that good things can happen.
That's all I believe at the moment.
And bad people will be punished.
Come 1 o'clock Saturday, that may change. Broncos fans.
The other thing is, we've seen the Panthers play with injured, with missing players due to injury or whatever.
Next man up, they say.
I mean, it's a system. But for all of the games that they've won when Nathan Cleary's been out or in Origin or whatever, they haven't won many when Luai's out.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, I'm just saying. They want to hope he comes back to work this year.
Maybe it's true Penrith and they just need that little bit of fucking, little bit of Westie cunt in them. That's what they need. There's not enough of that in Cleary. Or at least
he sees his dad every day.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the antithesis of what a Penrith person is.
Wow.
He actually knows his dad.
Way to break down every Western Sydney family. In a fucking spray. How good.
I feel like on the balance of like percentages, I'm correct.
Oh, I don't think you're far off the mark. Like Mount Druitt, please.
But look,
the land that fathers forgot.
Oh, look, yeah, it was good. Well, good
they years. Didn't forget it entirely. They just forgot where they lived. They know where the pub is, though.
Yeah.
And the pokies.
They could find their way to get the cigarettes. They couldn't quite find their way back.
Because the cigarettes were just a little bit around the corner from getting the cigarettes. That's where the pokies were.
Right. The Warriors 18 defeated the Dragons 6 over there in NZ. The Warriors 18 tries to Pompey, Nickel Klukstar and Fanua Blake. Two conversions to Pompey and a penalty goal. The Dragons tried a Lomax conversion to Lomax. And my gosh, this game was a bucket of warm shit.
The fact that the Warriors beat the Dragons is a highlight for me, mainly because the Dragons, as a club, is a steaming pile of shit. And the only thing is a bigger steaming pile of shit than the Dragons as a club is the entire Dragons fan base. I thought the Warriors were pretty well in control, even though they were a long way off their best until about the final 10 minutes of the game when Dragons came back and looked like they were going to make a game of it. And then poor old Tyrell Sloan decided he was going to do an interpretive dance of the Dragons fan base and cost his team the fucking chance of a win. So
that's funny, because I was watching this game on my phone with the volume down. And when I saw that, you're just like, just when you're looking at it at that size, I'm like, oh yeah, he's just grounded and moved on with his life.
Mm.
And like, what the? Why are they making this a try?
Clearly, he was trying to pick it up.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Then you look at it and scrutinise it on the replay more closely.
He's just not that guy. I think he fancies himself as a bit of a Nathan Blacklock type character who would pull that stuff off and fucking probably run 90 meters.
Yeah.
But he's not that guy.
Handing Adam Fanua Blake a try that he didn't deserve, after probably one of the worst fucking bombs I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
there was a couple. Little's one was pretty bad too.
There's a thousand ways to bomb a try, right?
Yeah.
And some of them are like more sort of tenuous than others. Like some of them, it's kind of like, well, you go, look, it was difficult for the guy to reach the thing or ground them.
I don't know if you're aware, mate. I play on the wing in C grade touch. I'm well aware of how many different ways there are to bomb a try.
Yeah, but I'm not. You're not doing any like fucking, like massive, you know, somersault cartwheels into the thing and then playing the ball.
Just saying you've never seen me play.
Well, yeah, because you're fucking...
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'd be looking at you on this call right now and your arm would be in a fucking sling because you put your shoulder out.
Yeah, 100%.
I know. If I see you there without a fucking arm in a sling, I know, you know, they're either fucking Darius Boyd strollovers or they're nothings.
Oh, that's hurtful. What about the barrel? What about the great barrel try of 2023? Where apparently it was a complete waste of energy to turn my body because I'm the same thickness that way as I was the other way anyway.
Yeah, but maybe you created like a sort of a wind sort of vortex or whatever that sort of blew the touch away or whatever. But that one with Fanua Blake where he was over the fucking line, just dive. Put the ball down.
Tuck the ball under your arm and fall on the fucking ground, you big dog.
Yeah, he decided to sort of slide sort of in on his side with the ball up and then just absolutely infuriating. And it's little things like that. It's just the detail-oriented shit like that that is why the Warriors are so fucking fake. And they're not
really?
They're not elite. Yeah.
Why are you shitting on the Warriors, bro?
Because they've been absolutely fucking unimpressive the last couple of weeks and I feel like they're the fakest team in the top four. Now, I mean, they're not the fakest team in the eight because there's a tier one of fake teams in the eight led by Canberra and also Sharks on that tier as well. Warriors next level down from one.
Hot take.
Everyone else then falls on tiers further below that. And I mean, like, you know, when you're talking about those tiers that are actually, you know, they're pretty far away from fake tiers and they're actually real. But yeah, they're the third fakest team in the finals race.
Fuck the Dragons.
Yes. And look, you know, again, they kept it close. They're not the worst team. They're not the worst team in the comp. They're not the second worst team in the comp, I wouldn't say. But they're going to have to live with being the second worst team in the comp when the fucking ladder settles at the end of the season.
The team that gets a wooden spoon is definitely not the worst team in the comp. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah, I would agree with you this year. We'll get to the worst team in the comp soon. But the Cowboys, 34, defeated the Dolphins 10 at Suncorp Stadium. The Cowboys, 34, came through a double to Labert. Drinkwater, Felt, Taulagi and Peter Hicku tries. Peter Hicku in his milestone game. Drinkwater, 5 of 6 conversions. Dolphins, 2 tries to Jermaine Asako, 2 conversions. Sorry, 1 conversion to Jermaine Asako.
Cowboys clearly in complete control throughout this game. And looking like the team we expected them to be that would, at this stage of the year, you know, a week out from the finals, be entrenched in the top eight. In reality, given their patchy form over the course of the entire fucking season, they're scratching and scraping to try and maybe make eighth. It's baffling.
Yeah, but the scoreline, as good as they looked, I mean, after sort of, you know, 20 minutes or so, this was looking like, I mean, even into the second half, this was looking like a good chance for them to push, you know, sort of for a 50-burger and add some real for and against, you know, to help them out because that's what they need. I mean, they're
Did raise their effort. I don't think they were helped, obviously, by the sin bin, which was legit anyway. Yep. But, you know, the Dolphins are looking for, you know, this inaugural season to come to a merciful end. It's been a solid first hit out for them as far as the season goes, but I think they've learnt as a group it's a long fucking season.
Yeah.
They're just right. I mean,
to their credit, they built up enough competition points in the bank early on that the spoon was never really a realistic threat for them. And while they'll finish on the lower end, they're still fairly clear of that. But yeah, Cowboys, I mean, just the fact that they had the foot on the throat and they didn't fully go through with it. I mean, they could have scored another 3 tries, would have helped them out a lot. But we shall see when we get to the team lists just how much help they'll need. You're going to have to man the fucking predictor this week. I think
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well, we'll see. You know, you got to get on the tools. Get on the predictor. See how you go. Storms, 37, defeat the Titans, 16, down there at the Korean Housewife in Melbourne. The Storm tries a hat-trick to Xavier Coates. Warbrick, Welch and Katoa with tries. Meany, 5 conversions, a penalty goal, and Munster with the field goal. Titan, 16, tries to Randall, Kelly and Jojo Fifita. Shook with 1 conversion, Weaver with another.
Titans went blow for blow with Melbourne for 60-plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Melbourne just completely shut them out for the last quarter of the game and fucking never really looked like being challenged from that point onwards. So, you know, Munster was good. Hughes had some absolutely outstanding moments. I feel a bit sorry for Meany. He's toiled away over the course of this season and had some really solid games for Melbourne, and now he's going to probably start to settle back into the role that, well, certainly over time, he's going to settle back into that backup role and playing a hell of a lot of Reggies as Pappy comes back. So,
Do you reckon that'll happen this year?
Because,
I mean, they've had a whole preseason and an entire season with Meany back there, and Pappy was actually pretty good when he came on. Or he was in the halves at one point.
Mm.
I mean, he was actually pretty good through there as sub. Obviously, if he's 100% fit, and
I think they'll keep Meany in the 17 because no one's going to be confident about Pappy copping a knock.
Yeah.
They'll keep him as 17, maybe. But I think come finals time, in a big game, as much as Meany has been solid, there's just that, I don't want to use that term that Jay hates, X factor, but there's just something about Pappenhausen in big moments. Sometimes he gets knocked out and doesn't come back for a year. Other times he comes up with a fucking absolutely miraculous play. And
sometimes his knee gets obliterated.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, you've sold me. I don't know why he's there.
I wonder how long. I mean, I haven't looked at the team list for this week, but I mean, knowing both sides have rested a fuck ton of players, it would probably be a good game for Pappy to be starting at one just to see what 100%. Happens. But yeah, Titan. This is almost like a reverse of the Cowboys game. Like Titans, and they did it last week with the Panthers as well. I mean, they were sort of right in it the whole, you know, for most of the game, and then just got blasted out at the end.
Yeah,
the Storm. Like the Cowboys before, I mean, the Storm are fighting not for the eight, but for the top four. They also need to sort of prove to themselves, I think, as well, that they're sort of getting back to the form they need to progress deep into the finals. And that's what they did.
Melbourne just have the mentality to make the top four.
Right. Then actually start playing properly.
Yeah, I just, those Shaq and Kobe teams, they just went through the regular season in, you know, like third gear, were that good, then made the finals, and then they became who they were. And I think Melbourne has a similar sort of mentality. You see in moments where Munster needs to shine or Hughes needs a big play, they come up with it almost 100% of the time. So I think they're just... Of course, they would love to be minor premiers, but they've probably had a few of those games, you know, where Bellamy's described them as putrid and, you know, threatened to murder their families. A few too many of those over the course of the season, but I think they're just set on making the top four and backing themselves from there.
All right. So we move on to the Roosters 32 defeating the Tigers 8 at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters 32 tries to Walker, Swalee, Tupou, May, Radley, Swalee, 5 conversions and a penalty goal. The Tigers, a try to Tristan Riley, a conversion to Appy, and a penalty goal to Appy, which took them out to 8-6, and then which a penalty goal to the Roosters brought it back to 8-all, and then what happened, Glennie?
Well, as bad as the Tigers have been all season, the second half of this game was possibly amongst the worst that they've turned out for the whole year. They were fucking abysmal in the second half. It was absolutely painful to watch. And they've lost by 70 plus in games. Just the end can't come soon enough. Just take them out the back behind the screen and do the merciful thing. The Roosters
desperately playing for a finals position that I think is going to just evade their grasp.
Yeah, I thought Walker, that's a solid first game back after a long time out, being dropped and having to, air quotes, regain his confidence in Reggie's.
Yep.
He was good. Swalee, he was outstanding. Fucking didn't let us give Appy a touch up. And then headbutted Stefano. It's like...
So, and he received 7 weeks for it.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a situation where you went into a tackle and you'd got it wrong and you collected him in the head, you know, and you get binned or you get on put on a report and you get suspended. It wasn't like a tackle that slipped up. It wasn't like fucking, you know, two guys in a tackle and you've lifted the guy and you accidentally get suspended.
All of those he's been suspended for previous in his career.
Yeah.
All of those types.
But for this one, to be face-to-face, handbags situation in the modern game, and to choose with cameras on you broadcasting in 4K to headbutt a fucking dude in the face. Dumbest cunt.
Yeah.
Seriously. And look, he's never been the smartest.
Look, he's not renowned. He's not renowned for, you know, coming off the field, having a quick shower and rushing down to, you know, to perform...
The Large Hadron Collider.
To perform brain surgery. It's not in his game. But you just... The tackle was bad enough, but the headbutt was fucking unforgivable.
So that's letters out for the rest of the season, and also misses out on a free trip to Vegas for round one next year. Also, the Roosters lost Manu as well. So that probably kills them off, yeah?
Yeah, look, Letters is a big loss, given that other than him in that forward pack, you've got Radley, who's a penalty suspension merchant in his own right, and then you've got Butchers and Bakers and Candlestick Makers other than them. Like, you know, and Lindsay Collins, he's a lone hand.
Yep.
So... His leadership and starch, you know, even coming off the bench as he is at the moment, you know, they can't compete without a bit of that because it's a slippery slope down. You know, Lindsay Collins holds his own. And then you've got Letters and then it's Cavan to Radley and then the fucking... Like I say, Butchers and Bakers, please.
Yep.
Fringe first graders at best.
Right. So we move on to the Broncos, 29, defeating the Raiders, 18, down there in Canberra, GIO. The Broncos tries a hat-trick to Selwyn Cobbo. Stags, Ma'am, Walsh with tries. Stags with only 2 conversions from 6 attempts. Walsh with a... field goal, the Raiders, Frawley, Kotrick, and Hudson Young with tries, Fogarty 2 conversions and a penalty goal.
Reece Walsh, every single touch, just fucking outstanding. His acceleration and ability in 2 strides to have a defender second-guessing every one of his life choices, not only... the choice as to which shoulder he's going to try and tackle him with. In a split second, the defender thinks he's got him covered and then is horribly fucking beaten within 2 strides. Just, it's been a long time, maybe peak Billy Slater, to see a guy with that sort of speed and acceleration. I know Tommy has... you know, incredible speed and footwork and strength.
But he's more strength than footwork. He's never been
different player. Walsh is,
he's
fucking electric, and he's in the type of form which is very dangerous heading into the finals. Where when he touches the ball, every defender is thinking, "Oh fuck," which is very dangerous. So, you know, that one run in the second half where it was a regulation, you know, he was carrying the ball back. There's four defenders there. And he put some footwork on, and the next thing he's run 50 metres and beaten four or five defenders from nothing. There was nothing on. And the way that the Broncos, even without Reynolds, the way that they played off the back of that run in particular, with Mam, Jockey Madden, and even Son of Kevy, just impressive. He's a strike weapon, and they're using him absolutely perfectly.
I still maintain that the benefit of Adam Reynolds, while he is a very good player, I think his benefit is as a coach. He doesn't have to be on the field with these guys. I think it's what he's doing with them every other day of the week.
Yeah,
what's formed them into what they are now. I can see,
and when you see games like how they've played in this game where Reno wasn't part of the squad on the field, you tend to, that gives weight to that theory. Ezra Mam, just, you know, there was games this season where Reynolds wasn't there and Ezra Mam wasn't quite the same player. He looks to have grown in that level of confidence now, where even if Reynolds isn't there steering the ship, Mam is still having a great game. And, you know, Jock Madden, solid as a rock. And
Jockey Madden and Billy Walters.
Yeah. Look, the irony's not lost on me, I'll be honest.
Part of a top four spine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did not get any barbecues when they left the Tigers.
Yeah. The biggest talking
point, I don't know if anyone actually even cooked them a barbecue. Not a fucking sausage chisel when they left. They were just showing the fucking door.
Swift kick.
Yeah.
Not even a dirty schnitzel cooked at the fucking cafeteria for them by Robbie. Now,
and Raiders were, you know, they had their moments as well, but Ricky,
look, they hung Ricky in there thanks to poor goal kicking. Yeah. Well, thanks to poor goal kicking from Katoni Staggs. I mean, it allowed them to hang into that game right to the death.
Mm.
You know, but the big talking points is the first one was Ricky Stewart telling the cameraman to fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy with a camera. Once again, the old letters proposition. Camera streaming live the KO Sports and Foxtel in 4K. Look at the guy straight down the barrel, telling him to fuck off. Well, I'll tell you what could go wrong. The guy had to fucking apologise to Ricky, the cameraman, after the fact. Ricky blows up in the press conference. Everyone's like, you know, what a fucking child he is, obviously. Then today it's like, oh no, Fox has apologised to Ricky. Absolute fucking cuck behaviour.
Yeah, it really is. That's poor. That's perpetuating his fucking ignorance, which is not acceptable.
Oh, it's just, and it's just, you know, the familiar, you know, the family connections, you know, and what's his name, the reporter who's, the journo whose brother's on staff there. But fucking just, yeah. He's an absolute pain in the arse. He's an absolute blight in the game, Ricky. Like, I mean, we've got some shit cunts in the game.
Yeah.
But Ricky,
in a competition featuring the St. George Illawarra Dragons and all their fans, Ricky Stewart is a piece of shit.
He pips him at the post, you reckon? The other big talking point, and we'll do it now because I'm pretty sure that people are going to mention it in the socials. Well, fuck it. Let's see how many people come in the socials for this one. Fuck it. We'll talk about it now. We'll talk about it then. The situation at the end of the game where Canberra put the kick in and Reece Walsh collected the kick and sort of was, you know, casually jogging as the final seconds of the game sort of ticked away, and Joseph Tarpany just fucking levelled him with the Goldberg spear. I thought it was incredible and probably one of it was up to that stage of the season, the best thing that had happened all season. It was beaten later on the weekend, but that's okay. But man, he fucked around and he found out. And the two things that I really enjoyed, one, the hit, loved it. But secondly, I also loved Reese Walsh in the interviews afterwards saying, look, yeah, no, he got me. Like,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he didn't
like,
piss and moan about it. He copped it. Sweet. Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, I mean, in this day, after that shit that Joey Manu pulled last year, was it, against the Dragons? Like, you'd never, like, never again should these guys be given the benefit of the doubt. If they got the ball in their hand, drill them until they're playing it, you know? Like, it's just, you can't take, because I tell you what, people might be upset at fucking Tarpity and, like, Broncos fans in their feelings about, oh, poor, their little fucking Reese Walsh, I mean, who, let's be honest, I mean, he looks like he moans when he wipes his ass. So, now...
What does that even mean, Nathan? Jesus Christ.
Now...
Fucking Jesus. That's really got me.
Now,
Once in a while, you come up with something that gets me right in the gills.
But let me tell you, it's far more embarrassing. Like taking the bitching of Broncos fans out of the equation, it's far worse to have the bitching of your own team and the derision from the entire NRL watching community when he strolls through and scores a try because you fucking switched off because you didn't think he was going to do anything, you know? Because that shit that happened to the Dragons with Joey Manu was fucking embarrassing for them. Hilarious though. I mean, like I love that one too. I love the shithousery. But yeah, good to hear some talking points. As we move on to the mighty Manly Siebes Eagles, 42 defeat the Bulldogs 24 at Acor Stadium. Breaking a hoodoo, Manly haven't won at that stadium since one of the semis in 2013, which is fucking crazy, a decade ago. I mean, I was actually really surprised. I mean, I knew about the one at the Dragons that we broke the other week. That's very, you know, often discussed before games, you know, within the Manly fan base as a hoodoo ground. But this one I wasn't aware of until I started talking about it. The Manly side, a double to Jason Saab. DCE, Croker, Toph Sipley, Darth Vega, and Homoli Olakau'atu with tries. Daily 6 of 7 conversions.
We're not doing that, surely. Surely.
What's that?
Darth Vega. That's worse than the fucking Siebes Eagles.
We got so many fucking names for him. We call him Bowser. We call him fucking... Oh, there's like 10 names for him. We haven't settled yet. Just fucking workshopping. And a penalty goal to little Gordy Chan Kum Tong. The Doggies tries to Waddell, Averillo, Flanagan and Sexton. Birdo, 4 of 4 conversions. You can go first. It's only the two of us tonight. Glennie?
I love the Gordy moment.
That is the greatest fucking thing that's happened this year. Almost as good as Beaver scoring a try in the 77th minute of the 2008 grand final.
I can't fucking
tell you how much I fucking love that moment and how much I love fucking Gordy. And I've been waiting for this debut for so long. And it fucking delivered everything. Take the fucking penalty thing out of it. Just the little fucking quick two steps he takes out of dummy half before he passes it. Splits the markers and instantly they're on the back foot. Then he passes it. His service, he puts the ball exactly where a prop wants to receive the ball when they're running full pelt. So they're not standing back waiting to get the ball, then starting their run. They're full blast. The ball lands exactly right in their path where they want it to be. And they're fucking over the advantage line and they're making meters. He made fucking Woodsy look like fucking Payne Haas. Just by virtue of the fucking service that he put on him. Receiving the ball right at dummy half. One step and he's fucking past the marker. And he's already stepping in behind the ruck and, you know, and making some easy meters. That's the shit I've been wanting to fucking see for so long. And it finally, you know, we got a taste of it for half an hour. 40 minutes in this game, so it was fucking great. Defense was great too. I mean, he's not Tuvi, but you know, he's in that sort of same fucking, you know, ballpark. I think he made like 94% tackle efficiency. I think I saw the statistic. But yeah, look, couldn't have fucking gone better. All his family there, and then Daly fucking giving him the goal kick was just the fucking greatest. A try would have been good, but to treat the Bulldogs like they were only there as fleshlights for which for little Gordy to come inside of and have a great debut, have one of his memorable debuts, was fucking great as well. And it's and to disrespect the Bulldogs so badly is so great, because if there's one thing you know about the Bulldogs, they're always shit and it will never come back to hurt us. Take a picture, put them on your lockers, run the video at the video session before you play Manly next year. It doesn't fucking matter what you do. It's not going to help you. Now, please talk about the game, Lenny. Sorry.
Well, I've really got fuck all to say. I think you pretty much said it all. I thought Daly was outstanding again. His low-key had a fucking outstanding season, both at club and representative level.
He has been legitimately one of the best players in the league this season.
Mm.
Like, fuck, this is one of his... Like, for just consistent play for the whole season, this is one of his best seasons of his career.
Mm.
Like, fucking unbelievable. And it's, like, different. And you look at him in 2011 and stuff. It's like he plays the game so differently now. But, fuck, like, it's like it feels like he's gotten faster as well. You see that try where he fucking sort of split Ockenbord at marker and then just put his foot down, outrun fucking people like fucking Fox to score the try. I mean, it's fucking it was ridiculous.
Yeah. It's, yeah, ultimately pretty disappointing season with injuries and stuff like that for Manly, but DCE's form's definitely been highlight. And the Bulldogs just, I've said it before, there's still no accountability for, you know, the coach, you know, where do we go next year? Does that mean he's got this full roster that he wants?
Yeah, and I mean, he said in the press conference that he was like... He was like, oh, you know, look, if there's guys, you know, this if I'm seeing signs that guys don't want to do what it takes to be in first grade, then, and, you know, we got guys in Flegg that can come, you know, like he talks a good game about, like, you know, accountability for performances and, you know, positions not being guaranteed and stuff. But he doesn't exactly, you know, he preaches it, but he doesn't really, you know, do it that often. I mean, Kikau has been fucking embarrassing since he came back. I mean, he was out for a long time, and obviously he's a big money player that they got in the offseason. You know, well-credentialed player, obviously. But his commitment in defence is fucking hopeless.
Yeah.
He is fucking embarrassing. And it's been a couple of weeks in a row now. Like, I don't know. I mean, and also completely ineffective. I mean, Morgan Harper, two games this year against the Bulldogs, has absolutely fucking rustled kick out into fucking 80-minute retirement, like, in two games. Like, he can't handle someone when they've got that level of shit cunnery where they just, you know, give them extras in the tackle and they talk shit at them and, you know, they throw them around a little bit, you know. He can't handle that at all. Absolute epitome of a flat track bully.
Always has been. Always will be.
Yeah. And he's mentally, he is there for the fucking superannuation.
Fair.
I mean, he's done his achievements. Like, his career achievements are done. So now he's there just to take Uncle Gussie's fucking 5-year plan superannuation.
Anyway, that's enough talking about this game.
Yeah. I just want to say, Kel Mataulangi, I hate how since he came back from injury, he started wearing headgear. Fucking hate it. The reason why I hate it is because it makes it so easy for the opposition to find where he is in the line. Because Manly were like, they were up like 40-12 at one point in this game. They had a try disallowed to Daly, and then the Bulldogs went bang bang straight through Tuolungi twice to score two more tries. I mean, if we hadn't have taken fucking Ben Trbojevic off the field, this would have been a 50 burger that it deserved. But look, you know, it was still all right, and a great debut for Gordy. Love you, Gordy. The Knights 32 defeat the Sharks 6 in Newcastle. The Knights side had a double to Bradman Best. Ponga, Young, Marzu and Lucas with tries. Ponga, 3 of 3 conversions. Gagai, 1 of 3, defeating the Sharks. 6 tries to Connor Tracy. Conversion to Braden Trindle.
Didn't mind watching this game. Newcastle just... It was the early exchanges and then just... built momentum, and once they got on a roll, the tidal wave, just the crowd got behind them, just really impressive. It was old boys' day, which they always turn up. They've built a fucking wave of momentum heading into a home final, potentially, and that is a significant home ground advantage. Ponga thought he had a great game. Klune, as a replacement for Hastings, his ball play was outstanding.
I actually find it hard to bring Hastings back into the side.
You have to put him back in there.
I know you have to. But I actually feel like it's not that Klune's come in and they haven't lost anything.
Mm.
I feel they've actually probably gained a little bit.
Yeah, and then Gamble as well. And again, in the finals with a big crowd behind him, and then Gamble just getting under people's skins. Potentially. I don't know, Newcastle, at a point in the season where O'Brien's job was on the line, to now they're legitimately one of the form teams in the finals.
Yeah, they definitely are one of the form teams. I think the finals are a different ball game, and they honestly couldn't be entering the finals like in a better position. Like they're at the absolute peak of what they could possibly do with that club, I think. Teams like Panthers, Broncos, Storm, when you look at them on paper, I think that the Knights would struggle to field a side of the quality of those guys. And they're absolutely getting every fucking drop of results out of that squad.
Yeah.
If not more. I mean, like they're doing everything to the absolute maximum of that squad can do. And so now it's going to be up to these teams that do have better players to, if they come in, and this won't happen week one, obviously. I mean, I'm almost pushing Newcastle straight through to week two because, a lot of fake teams down there in the bottom of the half of the eight. But that's when we'll really see what they're like, I think.
Yeah.
So we move on. Well, actually, we usually do the social things for Jay, don't we? This will probably cover a lot of the news stuff as well, I think, because one thing I don't think people mention, fucking Jai Arrow. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Jai Arrow, he of numerous dog-related incidents, fame. The Rabbits have a take your dog to work day, and his dog attacks the coach's dog.
Crazy.
Like, I mean, they have fucking, they do have laws around, like, dog ownership and stuff when you've proven to be a poor owner and, your dogs have, you've had repeated incidents and stuff. Because, I'm assuming, like, the last time a dog of his killed another dog or whatever, I mean, that dog would have been put down, surely, for that. So.
Absolutely. Like, the timing of it with the last week or so, South being in the media consistently.
Yeah, just another thing on top.
Fucking time is delicious.
All right, so let's go. I'm going to go hit Twitter. Stepdad with his post has asked, for the best moments, biggest talking points, and hot take worthy events. So Dawes has come in first and said, the best thing to happen, Gordon's debut. The smile that dude has is going to resonate with kids all over the country. You reckon Jake is wholesome? Man, Gordy is going to be levels above in wholesomeness. And then I'm going to click because he's... Dawes pays for Twitter, so he can do extra long tweets for me with videos. Ricky Stewart. The funniest thing to happen. Penrith's arrogance resting players costing them a minor premiership. Well, not necessarily cost them just yet, but yeah, probably cost them. Dumbest thing to happen. Brad Parker's air swing to try and knock the ball across the dead ball line. I tell you, the two most retarded fucking memeable moments of the year have both come from Brad Parker and bookending the season. There was that kick he did on the fly against Penrith in the early rounds.
Yeah.
And then this air swing. That dude is a fucking mong. And they're not surprised it happened. Ricky blowing up about referees and swearing at cameramen. Correct. Now, who we got here? Jared says, that hit on Reece Walsh from Tarponet was the tackle bag special we would all like to do. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. And JWH finishing his career with a suspension sucked in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's career threatening. He's not retiring, is he? He's still going.
He should.
I don't think he's still. I mean, this was a dumb fucking thing, and he's been punished dearly for it. But he's still playing at a reasonable. I mean, you know, he was kind of a glue for this Rooster side this year, and you know,
he's very much at the tail end.
He's definitely at the end. But I mean, I don't know if he's
just his game in particular doesn't lend itself to, you know, role player, so to speak. I think he's that enforcer guy, even as he's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I just feel he's one of those guys that could potentially, it could be glaringly obvious to everyone that he's just gone a season too long.
Yeah. Lambretta, GP1971 on Twitter. Letters did what Manly, West Tigers, Parramatta and the Dolphins failed to do. He finally ended the Roosters season. That's a Roosters fan saying that. At YouthWork13, his reply to the question posed by Stepdad was, Griffin not having a coaching job. That's the best, biggest talking point and hot take worthy event. I wish Griffin had a coaching job. I sincerely do. The reason why is because, my God, he is the most monotone, boring cunt.
Oh, wow.
On comms.
Terrible.
Fucking by far the worst.
I would rather listen to him than Steve Roach.
Well, if he sort of put Steve Roach's expression into the content of what he said, he'd probably be all right. But just the... Fuck me, I understand why players weren't going out, you know, fucking busting through walls and breathing fire coming out of the change rooms. Good my God, that guy, he's fucking melatonin. And Terry said Manly did a disrespectful cum shot at goal, but the Dogs have actually put in more filthy performances this season. What can the Dogs do to be viewed as serious actors in the finals race next year?
Well, there's nothing they can do. They already have their coach and half their players on big money. So,
I mean, they're bringing some decent, well-credentialed players in next year as well. I mean, most notably, you know, Stephen Crichton. But they're playing him at fullback, where he's proven to be an excellent centre.
Yeah.
Defensively and, you know, in attack, but fullback probably his weakest position, but he wants that spine money. So we'll see.
Look, he could fucking set the world on fire. They still don't have a halfback.
Yeah, exactly. Gee, Birdo's been shit too the last couple of weeks.
Very poor.
Apparently had a kid. You right, Glennie?
Oh, mate, I'm fading chop, chop. Hard.
Come on, stay with me. Give me another 20 minutes. I think he had a kid a couple of weeks ago, I heard. Okay. But, I mean, like, fucking haven't we all?
Look,
you still got to turn up. You still got to turn up to work.
Yeah.
You know, fucking.
And look, he might have had a kid, but, you know, isn't Birdo from Mount Jewett? It's not like he's living in the same house as a kid, being up like half the night fucking helping change nappies and feed the bloody thing.
It's not like the kid will ever recognise his face.
Here we are, we've come full circle, how good.
Liam on Facey said, it gives myself, a supporter of a non-finals contender, great joy knowing that every finals-bound team has a serious injury to a top player. This could make the finals actually interesting.
I like it.
Cameron said, hot
interesting,
take.
Interesting development, especially, you know, there's some big names that are going to be,
definitely.
If not out, underdone.
Yeah. Cameron said, hot take. Ricky Stewart is actually Q, the leader of QAnon. The cunt talks in riddles, is convinced there's a shadowy cabal controlling the referees purely to fuck Canberra and only Canberra, and deflects away any logical criticism with more whataboutisms and gibbering nonsense. Shit cunt. Look, what you see from Ricky at press conferences, I have been reliably informed, is exactly the same as Ricky in a straight-up business meeting, conversation. Basically, he is that miserable guy. He's that guy. Constantly looking to steer conversations in directions that enable him to start bitching about something. And once he starts and he's off, and there's no reining him back in. That is exactly who he is. Daniel said, Ramian is a cunt, that is all. Hashtag fuck the Sharps.
He does have it in his game.
Lachlan said, would you rather take the Warriors or the Storm in week one of the finals?
Would you rather play the Warriors?
Who would you rather have out of those two? Yeah, Warriors all day for me.
I'd rather play the Warriors, yeah, for sure.
Inexperienced in coach and mostly players as well. Had a good year, had a great fucking year.
Yeah.
But I think they've been poor the last couple of weeks.
Certainly want to play them.
Eminently beatable by teams that shouldn't be anywhere near them if they're serious.
Yeah.
And the Storm, I mean, fuck, you know, you don't want to play the Storm until you have to in finals. I mean, they're like second, third generation of players experienced. Like players got their sons that are experienced in fucking in finals football playing for them. Phil, has there ever been a bigger Storm in a teacup recently than Tarponet's hit on Walsh? Well within the rules, and Walsh even seemed to see the funny side of it. 100% Phil, 100% correct. Lachlan said, it's good to see Corey Oates back. He's had a tough few years with injuries and illness, but on a more serious note, all year I've been likening Brisbane to 2020 Penrith. I mean, good all year, but come grand final day, the team that's been up the top of the ladder longer will persevere on the day. That's the feeling I get with them. It's almost like they need a grand final loss as a humbling moment before they can reach their final form.
Interesting.
Lachlan again said, on another note, I'm a former Broncos fan, now Dolphins. And I cannot stand Reece Walsh. He's a good player, but he's got too much of that Gutho gene in him, especially after Origin. It's only got worse as he's got more confident. The whole swearing at the referee incident, I still think it was a tough call against Walsh, but my point stands.
He's definitely playing with a lot of confidence, and it's spilling over into how he's carrying himself. I won't say off the field, but certainly just with a bit of shit talk and a bit of swagger and, you know, post-try sort of stuff. He's got a bit of lair in him.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And I mean, like, it's hard to get that line as well. I mean, there's like, because there is that just that vibe of like joyfulness about, you know, having fun playing footy with the boys when it's a tight squad. But and yeah, like Panthers are sort of the same. But there's that line, and I don't know any of them have actually mastered it just yet. James said, has the mythical Big Diesel replaced the fictional Johnny Adams as his son's rugby league hero?
No, I certainly have not. I am copying it.
Give it like 4 days and we'll fucking see, hey? Daniel said, there's a Big Diesel need to borrow an inhaler before this week's episode. No, it ain't easy being wheezy.
I've got fucking three of them.
Was that you being wheezy last week? I thought it was me because, I mean, I literally had fucking bronchitis.
Yeah. But I've been fucked for a few weeks. I've got Ventolin, Simbicort. I've got all sorts of shit.
Yeah, and I know.
So your hurtful jokes haven't gone unnoticed, but
I just assume
fuck all I can do about it.
I just assume you're on the puffers because it's a low level and easy way to fucking get steroids into your system for the big game. Tim said, Sivo should be on an 11-day mandatory stand down after lying motionless from high shot. The only way to stop milking high shots.
Yeah.
His was pretty bad. Okay, Bales says, an idea for end of season games that have no meaning to top 8 spots. No attempt at penalty goals allowed would force teams to actually play footy and ultimately fatigue both teams opening defence up later in the game.
Yeah, I don't like it. I like what you're trying to do, but I'm not sure about that.
I don't actually think that there's really enough shots at goal for penalties.
It's not going to be really union.
It would only affect like 2 or 3 times a match, maybe, if that. Mm. Yeah, sometimes not at all. Joshua says, I don't get the hate for Reece Walsh stopping dead at the end. He already had an injured knee from the try a few minutes earlier and was reaching for his leg as he pulled up. I don't really see it as a fucked around, found out situation, especially since all the other Raiders players had slowed down too. I don't know enough about Tarpanay's game to know if it was just him taking out his frustration on Walsh. That said, fair play to both Tarpanay playing to the whistle with a great tackle and Walsh shrugging it off physically and mentally. Earlier in the season, I think Walsh could have blown up over it, but he took it like a champ, and considering he had no Reynolds or Carrigan to keep him in line, it was nice as a Broncos fan to see.
Yeah, agree with all of that. I don't have a problem with Tarpanay, as you say, playing to the whistle. And Walsh, to his credit, handled it well.
Yep. Ryan said, I'm really starting to like Nathan Cleary, and I think if he keeps going the way he is at the moment, he'll eventually be the number one halfback in the comp.
Purposely inflammatory.
Purposely true, some would say. Now, it comes to the time. I've got the ladder predict up here, Glennie. I don't think you're up to it.
I agree.
I think you're fucking you're out. You're fucking out of gas. So the good thing is this week there's only about three games that actually really have any effect on things that anyone really cares about. So let's go into the team list. The Eels have the bye. Broncos take on the Storm. This is one of the games that's kind of impactful in the scheme of things. However, the Broncos are resting Reece Walsh, Katoni Staggs, Herbie Farnworth, Selwyn Cobbo, Ezra Mamm, Billy Walters, Payne Haas, Kurt Capewell, Kobe Hetherington. And in return, they're bringing in Tristan Saylor, Jesse Arthurs, Deloise Hoyter. Oh, Deloise is still around. Jordan Pereira, Josh Rogers, Blake Moser, Corey Pakes, Xavier Wilson, and Marty Tapau to the bench. Best part of this for me is Marty Tapau. The Broncos rest every fucking player in the 17. Marty Tapau can't run on.
Yeah.
Still. The Storms, don't think that they got away scot-free. They're without Nick Meaney, Marion Seve, Xavier Coates, Cameron Munster, Jerome Hughes, Tui Kamikamika, Christian Welch, Trent Loiero, Nelson Asofa-Solomona, Harry Grant, Tom Eisenhuth. And that brings Justin Olam back in for an appearance. Remus Smith, Jaden Nikarima, Tyron Wishart, Tarek Sims, Chris Lewis, Josh King, Sulevi Farlongo, Alec McDonald, Aaron Penne, Jack Howarth. Fuck. So I saw Broncos fans on the socials actually complaining, saying, listen, people do pay for their fucking tickets to go to these games.
Yeah.
And this is a legitimate Queensland Cup showdown, reserve grade fucking showdown.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. It's a valuable workout for Ryan Pappenhausen to get 80 minutes, presumably at one.
And probably score five tries.
And that is absolutely it. Their entire spine that they've ran this entire season on, out. Yeah, the Broncos.
I do think...
same thing except for Jockey Madden.
Yeah. I still think the Broncos at home will win. But
you'd think so, because
it's going to be a high quality contest, that's for sure.
Because everything good that has emanated forth from the Storm over the last month has been at the hands of Jerome Hughes.
Yeah.
He's the absolute key, more so than ever. And honestly, who fucking knows? Who knows? You give it to the Broncos because they're the home team.
Yeah, but I mean,
they've thrown out a fucking dumpster side as well. Like, there's no telling who's going to win this fucking game. Really.
But, who are you tipping?
Fuck, look. If I wanted to make things interesting, I'd tip the Storms. But I think I'll just tip the Broncos because... like, honestly, who fucking cares? Like, it's a game... It says everything about how these teams view the minor premiership.
Mm.
Like, they don't fucking care. 1v2, 1 and 2, there's no difference in terms of their finals campaign unless you're deliberately selecting opponents. And we had that question earlier where obviously you definitely want to play the Warriors first up at your home.
Exactly.
Then the Storm. Next up, it's us. The Siebes Eagles take on the West Tigers, last game of the year at Four Pines, Brookvale Oval, and Manly side. Tuolungi dropped. Maddo comes into the bench. Fucking strongest Manly side in the last week. Gordy still in there at 14. And so I have a feeling that Gordy and Madison in 14 and 15 on the bench, they'll play this game. they'll get probably 30 minutes in. Then they've got to back up because for the first time ever, they got Blacktown into the finals. And I think they play on Saturday, their first round finals clash. So I think Gordy will have to be in that side as well. He deserves it. I mean, he's the captain of that side. He's one, you know, been largely one of the engines that have taken them, you know, from a fucking spoon side to a final side. But yeah, so I hope he plays with both of them. But I'm glad to see that. Like, I hope he never drops out of first grade again, because he could be. It's funny, I saw a statistic, like, you know, it's a milestone game for Manly as well, with Jakey's 200th game.
Oh, we're fine.
So it's a big one for Jakey. And it was funny, I saw a list today. Someone on Twitter posted a list, and I saw it, someone DM'd it to me, that Jakey is like the... Oh, fuck, I need to find the exact fucking number here so I can be accurate. But whatever number player to reach 200 games for Manly, Jakey is it's something. There's some extraordinary number of players that have played 200 games for Manly, and like more than any other club, as far as like, you know, long term 200 game players. So, which I just found interesting, because the reason being, because, you know, like when, you know, Manly came into competition, I mean, there are clubs out there that have 50 fucking plus years club history, you know, more than us. And so
didn't you come in 47?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you got so
competition started in 1908. Yeah. I don't know how you got 50 plus years out of that. Where the fuck did you go to school?
Look, I was extrapolating a little bit. But, you know.
I know I'm getting tired, but fucking come on. There's no end to your bullshit, really.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, so here we come, the 21st person to play 200 first grade premiership games for Seagulls. No other club has as many players reached that milestone. And so with Jakey at 200, he's four behind Fatty Vaughton, eight behind Terry Randall, and 13 behind Bob Fulton. And then you've got you know, some gaps up to get to the, you know, the clubhouse leader Cliff Lyons, and DCE, and of course Menzies. You know, he should be on, like, you know, 340-odd, whatever it was, 341 or whatever. But, yeah, record keepers. I can't. And so... And like, and little Gordy, he'll be hitting 200 one day as well. I reckon
maybe in 199 games time.
Yeah, I reckon next one we probably see maybe someone. I reckon someone like Ruben Garrick's probably potentially the next one in the club.
Look, it's a milestone game, and Tigers have nothing to fucking play for.
Hey, Tigers side.
Oh, fuck.
Stefano's out.
Who cares?
Got headbutted into a fucking barley by Lettuce. Bateman's out. Atasi James and Will Smith also out. You are exciting. You are debuting Manly Junior Josh Folletti in this game.
Holy shit.
Bring him up from flag. Because, you know, there's nothing like rushing a fucking player. And
that's what we do.
Alex Twal comes back in to give you that real fucking, that kind of, that brand of ineffective punch that the West Tigers are known for. but yeah, Appy's playing halfback again. So I don't know whether, I mean, like, I guess it was inspirational in that game where he kicked the goal and stuff, right? Yeah. But what do you reckon's going to happen here?
Oh, I just want the season to be over.
I hope the boys put it together for Jakey.
I think we are going to get a touch up and get back on the fucking bus, go home, have a shower, get up, do Mad Monday, then get on a bus to the airport and a plane to Bali and put this whole fucking year behind us.
Yeah. Manly, the only team you've got something to play for, Jakey. And that one I'm not even worried about. Ladder predictor. Okay, here we go. This is one of the impactful games. The Rabbits take on the Roosters, Accor Stadium, Friday night at 8 p.m. The Rabbits side, without Latrell Mitchell, without Tane Milne, Jacob Host, and Havili out as well. Blake Taffy comes in. Isaac Thompson to the wing. Cheekham to second row. Davey Mowali to the bench. Jai Arrow demoted to the bench because his dog ate the coach's dog. And Tevita Totola replaces him in the front row. The Roosters side. Corey Allen's out. Maria Hargraves is out. They got Joey Manu in there in the four. So is he not? I thought he was fucked. He's moving back to centre though, with Tedesco coming back into the side. And Crichton re-enters the side as well. So, here's the scenario here. Obviously, there's a three-way battle here between the Cowboys, Rabbits, and the Roosters. All on 30 points. Rabbits currently sit inside the eight due to their superior for and against. The Cowboys, 37 behind. Roosters, as far as for and against concern, it's tough. They're negative 38, so they've really got to fucking put some points on here. But it's not without a chance for them. Rabbits win. They move up to seventh. They're home and hosed. Roosters win. They take seventh place pending other results that can happen. So for these two teams, it's win and you're in, right?
Yeah.
Who's winning?
I want to say South, just to put paid to some of the noise, but...
Yeah, but the noise is...
Good to see Walker retains his position for the Roosters with a solid game, first game back, as I said earlier. I feel like South should win, but I mean, they played with Taffy.
He's been there all year too, pretty much. You know, Latrell hasn't played a lot of football.
I think the Roosters might get him. And then South will have a hell of an off season ahead of them. There'll be a lot.
That's
of
probably
shit
the most chaotic going. Result, I think. Yeah. And at this stage of the season, I'm a connoisseur of chaos.
Yes,
I
always
see the chaos. So for it to truly manifest chaos round, I'd like to see the Roosters win, kick the South side out, so to speak. let's say the Roosters win. Roosters are in seventh place as we stand at the moment. Dolphins take on the Warriors. This is another one of those games that doesn't mean a lot in the scheme of things. This one's happening at Suncorp Stadium. Josh Kerr and JJ Collins out. Jesse Bromwich comes in. Max Plath comes in as well. The Warriors side. Nicol Klukstad out. DWZ out. Luke Metcalf. Sean Johnson. Adam Vinoir-Blake. Wade Egan. Torhu Harris. Nothing to gain for the Warriors. Nothing to lose for the Warriors in this game. And you know what? I still think they'll probably take care of.
Yeah, I think.
I mean,
I think the Dolphins have been cooked and tinned, and the Warriors will be a bit of a training run, a little bit of a warm up for some of the guys that aren't stars. Give them an extra run under their belt in preparation, sharpen things up for the finals.
Braden Williamy in 14. Interesting.
Your mate.
That shows how much the Warriors don't care about this game, which is weird because with this game, the Warriors really, if the Storm lose as we expect on Thursday night, then whatever the Warriors do doesn't matter. But if the Storm win, then they can actually take the Warriors over because their differential is almost identical.
Yeah, okay.
At this stage. So it does come down to the margin of the games. But look, I'm going to say, the Warriors are going to win regardless. Lockdown third place. And we move to the Panthers versus the Cowboys in Penrith. Jesse McLean, Thomas Jenkins, Jerome Luai, Luke Garner out. Dylan Edwards in. Taruva in. Somerton in. Sorensen in. Jack Cogger goes to 5'8 to take the place of the injured Luai. Hosking to the bench from the second row. The Cowboys side. So the Panthers obviously looking to play this game. The Cowboys, they're going full strength, balls to the wall. They need to get into the finals here. Unchanged squad from the Victoria squad last week. The equation is, if the Panthers win, doesn't change anything for them.
Mm.
I mean... They'll still fall two premiership. If the Broncos do win as we expect and the Panthers win, changes nothing. If the Broncos lose and the Panthers win, then they get the minor premiership by virtue of their far superior for and against differential. The Cowboys, though, if they win, it's almost my favourite outcome of the round. Because the winner of the Roosters and the Rabbitohs will drop into seventh position. If the Cowboys win... they'll jump into seventh, pushing that other team, South or Roosters, to eighth, and then knocking the Raiders out. at this stage of the round.
That is the epitome of rugby league chaos.
And when I talk about fake teams, I mean, to fucking be pretty much a top four lock about a month ago, to falling out of the finals, that's Broncos 2022 shit.
Yeah, it really
is. I love it. I love it for any team. The I think the Panthers, the way they approach this game is probably going to be based a lot upon what happens in the Broncos game. If the Broncos lose to the Storm, maybe they might put their foot down a little bit for the minor premiership, but they could rest other players.
Exactly. I think Panthers win regardless.
Yeah.
And Cowboys might finish ninth, which would be quite fitting.
They'll finish 10th, actually.
Fuck it.
Unless other results. So we go Dragons versus Knights. This was taking place at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. Finau and Musgrove out. Finai and Jack DeBellin come in. Newcastle Knights side resting. Ponga, Gagai, Fenix, Crossland, Tyson Frizzell. Well, Ponga injured. Lockie Miller comes back. Tuala comes back. Brody Jones and Riley Jones into the side as well. New Brown will be hooker. Now, the Knights will want to lock in fifth spot. I don't think they can finish. Where can they finish? I don't think they finish below sixth anyway. So they secure their home final regardless. It just comes down to a matter of who they want to play, I guess. And I guess with all the ruckus going on below them, there's no telling who's going to be there anyway. So, you know, they've rested a couple of players, but not enough to say that they're completely serious about throwing this game. I think the Knights will win easily. They're far too... Just what they're doing is far too consistent.
Yeah.
For an up and down. I mean, the Dragons will be competitive and complete maybe for 20, 30 minutes of this game. And then they'll fall away like they always fucking do. And the Knights will, you know, potentially put them to the sword. Thereby locking in fifth place on the ladder. We move to the next game. Titans take on the Bulldogs. This is another one. This is the game that's being refereed by Casey Badger for the 80 minutes after her stellar performances in the bunker over the last month. She's been rewarded because, hey, it's the NRL. You fall upwards. And this game is going to be fucking chaos. Anything could happen.
Yeah. Both teams could be as bad as each other on the day.
There could be 10 send-offs. How's she going to react when fucking Reed Marnie starts flapping up to her after the first fucking tackle of the game? The Titans are a fairly calm sort of outfit. Kieran Foran's a fairly calm sort of guy when he talks to the referee and stuff. So, you know, I think that they'll get on the right side of the calls. Bulldogs are going to be the absolute shitstorm that they are. The Titans can score points, and the Titans can hang in games for 60 minutes, which is far more than the Bulldogs can. Titans to finish with a win. And Tevita Pangai not playing in his last game. So he's going to get a good a quick start on his boxing career. Titans to win. Doesn't change shit. We move on. Sharks take on the Raiders. Last game of the round, and this is also an impactful game in the round. The equation is simple. If the Sharks win, based on the results ahead, they'll finish in sixth place and get a home final, salvage a home final. If the Sharks lose this game, they will remain in the comp, but they'll move down to seventh, and the Raiders will secure themselves sixth place in a home final. So,
wow.
You know, where are we?
A battle of two teams that just, you know,
the best result for this game is the Cowboys to beat Penrith.
Okay.
Because then if that happens, that puts real pressure on this game. Not so much for the Sharks, but it does most definitely for the Raiders. If the Sharks could lose and still remain in the finals race, Raiders lose and they're out. So for me, that's a more chaotic and pressure environment. I don't think it'll happen though. So what we got here is two sides jostling for position. The Raiders will be looking at the Sharks will get a home final against the Roosters if they win. The Raiders will get a home final against the Sharks for a rematch the next week if they win. So I'm almost down for that chaotic result, to be honest.
Yeah. Sharks.
So many meaningful. Yeah. You'd think so, right? You'd think so.
They have let us down multiple times this season, but one last time, Sharks.
Yeah, they haven't let me down. I'm a shark-hating cunt, so I mean...
Yes, you are.
So they always say. But that's chaos round. Couple of big games. And that's episode 532. Glennie's just about dying over here. I took some screenshots. I took some pictures of you on the video call.
Just to show people how tired.
Well, just to show people you weren't faking it. That you're legitimately a ruined man.
My eyes are fucking burning. I'm struggling.
That's all right, mate. Thanks for listening, everyone. 532, thisweekinleague.com for all your links, social destinations, and all that good shit. Also, when I go up to the mountain on the Saturday, I will be collecting a wonderful piece of merch. I may put them on the site on Friday for pre-order for people. Well, it's not much of a pre-order because I'll fucking have them in my hand on Saturday. But just rest assured, there are limited numbers of these. And Patreon subscribers, you've got some of this stuff coming to you already, and I'll put posts on the various levels in Patreon about them, so you guys don't have to go and buy them. For everyone else, though, if you want to get one of these items, I'll stick them online on Friday, and have at it, because I'll be able to start shipping them out from Monday.
You're
gonna love them. I've seen them, not in person, but looking forward to it. And that's it. Go to bed, Glennie.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
See ya.
See you next week.
Go the diesel.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.